things that I need to do. I moved some stuff around here, so I've given myself an A- for using the word aforementioned when I'm talking about things coming in the future, so forgive me for that. But one of the things is the ideas that we've come up with and brought to the administrators and to you guys, none of these will jeopardize the $15 million of special legislation that you got with the voter-approved bond issue. So that will remain intact, you know, going forward if you were to decide to do any of this. So whenever we look at what you can do, we start with the limitations that are imposed on you. And that starts with the statutory debt limit. And that table there at the bottom of the page shows that you have a what we call a non-referendum debt limit and an overall debt limit, the different being a different percentage applied to your equalized assessed value or your taxable property. So the smaller non-referendum debt limit, that's going to apply to any bonds that didn't specifically require voter approval. So there's one idea that is bonds that in fact do not require voter approval to help with some of the projects that you guys might have on the horizon. The larger overall debt limit would include that first amount of debt, the non-voter approved debt, as well as any voter approved debt. So when we look at this table, the most important things are the bottom, the available debt margin. And for the first time in a few years, you have a sizable positive number at the bottom of each of those columns. Where in years past, that was a negative number primarily due to EAB declines. So what that means is we can look at some types of borrowing that weren't available to you just a couple of years ago. Right now, what we look at as well is what your current rating is from Moody's Investor Service. It's A2, which is a few notches off of AAA, but still a great rating to have. It's going to help you get toward the lower end of interest rates, which is good for you guys. And also, I can't remember what year it was, but there was a negative outlook
a couple of years,
and that
right.
was removed. So that means that things are trending in the right direction, and kudos to the directors here. So that's a good thing. One of the last limitations that we look at is what we call your debt service extension base. You guys haven't really had to look at this since, I think, 2010, which I believe was the last time that you sold non-voter approved bonds that would apply to this limitation. But what this is it's the limitation on the annual debt service payment for all non-voter approved bonds. So anything that didn't require a vote from the voters, this number is the maximum principal and interest that can be repaid each year. So anytime you sell bonds, we would have to fit within this tax cap, or the bond payment has to fit within the tax caps. So when we talk about non-voter approved bonds, or you'll see on a couple of pages here, the letters LT. LT stands for limited bonds. That's going to be non-voter approved. So this is the main limitation that's going to limit what you can sell in the way of a bond issue. The overall debt limit is yet another limitation that caps what you can do. So you've got a couple different pressures working against you as far as what that dollar amount can be, and it's our job to do the analysis to figure out what that is. So I don't know if you guys have a second page or a back page, but second table is probably the second page.
Andy, can I interject for just a minute?
Yeah.
And one of the things, in addition, the conversation is, a lot of it is gearing toward the fact that we have this available opportunity, this debt is available to us if we want to issue something. But one of the key factors that Andy watches and monitors for us all the time is, are there opportunities for us to restructure the existing debt we have simply to reduce the cost of that debt? So we did that 3 years ago almost, two years ago, and we did some refinancing that we didn't bring any additional money in. We just said we're going to save $3 million in future interest payments. So those are some of the additional reasons that we are constantly looking at this. So it's not just potential for new issuance, but also for existing. And one bullet point, you skirted over. I think it was on purpose. No. The Build America bonds, which I think Tim had mentioned on a couple of occasions, are we going to refinance? Nothing yet. Call date restrictions don't allow us to do any work on that. But Andy has been monitoring and will continue to monitor.
It works if we ignore the subsidy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If we ignore the fact that it's subsidized by the government, which would be completely malicious and the wrong thing we would do,
then we would
it works great. It shows amazing savings. But once we factor in that 33.% is subsidized by the government, it turns into, if you were to refinance those, it'd actually come at a cost. It would cost more to do that.
Right.
So that's something that we will continue to monitor, update the rates, provide that to the directors to show them what that savings is as we get closer. Because You technically cannot refinance those on a tax-exempt basis until next year when we're about 3 months from the call date. We can do it on a taxable basis now, which means higher interest rates and less likelihood of generating actual savings. So it's something that we're looking at. We really hope to be able to incorporate it in some of this information that's pulled together here, but unfortunately it doesn't work right now, so we're going to keep an eye on that one. And then I'm glad you brought up the 2016 refunding, because if you remember, that was the point in time where the federal government announced they were going to increase interest rates by 0.25%. Mm-hmm. And I called Sue and said, this is terrible, it's going to kill the savings, you guys are going to have to wait longer. And in fact, by raising the federal funds rate, the muni market went the other way, and rates actually went down. It actually increased the savings. You guys rushed, got our parameters resolution and parameters ordinance done, and locked in that savings, which was amazing. You know, it doesn't always work out that way, so that was... it's rare that it's fun.
And that was fun. Yeah, but it worked out well.
But that was fun and exciting and great. But I think that's important to think about, because now we've heard that the Fed is announcing that they want to cut the federal funds rate, which has you immediately going, that should lower rates, right? Well, exactly the opposite occurred the last time that we tackled a bond issue that way. And so you can't rely that when they announce they're going to reduce one
and
rate.
And didn't they pull back on that this week?
Last week. Yeah, they were talking about maybe 0.5%. And
right.
Then now they're saying maybe we won't. So I think most people are leaning toward maybe 0.25% change.
Okay.
If they do anything. But I'm just saying that even though your mind wants to say, let's wait until that happens, which actually timing-wise, if some of this you were to move forward on, would require like the 30-day petition period and all that, we might get to that point anyway to see what happens, and you don't have a choice. But just, you know, that's not necessarily an indication of what's going to happen in the muni market, so I just thought that's important to point out. So the next page is what I call the overview of borrowing capabilities. This is where we take all of those limitations and those other considerations and say, what can you actually do? So in a nutshell, if you were to sell limited bonds right now, the maximum dollar amount that you could pull out for projects is $3 million. So I talked to the director, said, you know, is that a reasonable dollar amount that you might consider borrowing? And they said, of course, they have a laundry list of things that could be tackled with that. Then what we would have to look at is, what are your actual immediate needs? Would you like to pursue $3 million? Would you like to pursue $2.5 million? What is the real dollar amount that you'd like to try to pursue? And then we can actually run analysis to see what that looks like. But for the time being, the maximum that we see is $3 million. In order to pull that out and comply with the tax caps, which is that debt service extension base, it would actually require close to $1 million of refunding bonds to do that. So the total bond issue, if you were to pursue $3 million, would be around $4 million. So I wouldn't want that to come as a surprise to you. Very similar to what happened in 2010, where certain bonds need to be refinanced in order to comply with those tax caps at the time. So the difference between back then and now is that that debt service extension base has increased over time with CPI each year. So you get a little bit more incrementally, and then you can capitalize that on that the next time that you were to sell bonds. So we're assuming that growth slightly. So you know, if you're going to ask whether or not taxes would go up, it would go up marginally. You know, as much as your operating levy has probably gone up in that period of time, that's the amount that's capped as far as growth in the debt service extension base. So these, again, do not require voter approval. And I had already mentioned that the last time that you went through this process was almost 10 years ago. So where there's some districts out there, park districts, who issue limited bonds every single year, you guys do not make a habit of doing that and seem to pick the point in time where there truly is a need to be able to pull that money out and accomplish some goals with it. So I think that's commendable. So that would be it. And again, there's a couple more sheets that we're going to look at. Keep in mind that LT equals limited bonds equals non-referendum bonds, just to keep everything kind of straight here. The second part of this page is tied to unlimited tax bonds. That's ULT. What that means is any voter-approved bonds that are out there. So it was in 2010 was mm-hmm. the referendum. Mm-hmm. So that, as well as any possibly older bond issues that were tied to a previous referendum, any of those bond issues that you have outstanding would be referred to as ULT in the handouts that I have here. Now, you can't just arbitrarily borrow for projects without, of the magnitude you did before, without going to referendum. So I'm not suggesting here that there's a need for you to do that. But what you can do from time to time, so long as the overall statutory debt limit has a positive number, which on the previous page it did, to the tune of about $9 million, is you can use some of that to refinance and restructure existing debt payments in order to accomplish some other goal. Now, what we would have loved to do is refinance the Build America bonds and shown you that there was true savings that we had, and we hope that that'll happen next year. As it stands right now, that's not an option. So then what we looked at is, how can we take your existing debt structure, which has payments that rise from about $5 million up to over $9 million in a fairly short period of time? What can we do right here and now that makes sense, that can iron out some of the repeats, given how low interest rates are at present, in order to provide some relief to taxpayers that those payments aren't going to go over $7 million, $8 million, and eventually $9 million. So there's an illustration in here that's going to show you that. But again, because we're refinancing bonds that already received voter approval, you have the authority as a board to do that whenever you see fit, as long as there's statutory borrowing margin available, which there currently is. The interesting thing about your structure right now is that currently your bond payments are scheduled to end in 2037. And the restructuring that I pulled together that moves some of those payments around, irons out those really big peaks, does not extend your bond payments any further than 2037. So there's some uneven payments out on the back end. Basically, what we're doing is taking pieces of those payments that exceed $7 million and kind of moving them and depositing them where there's available holes to do so. So I'm going to go to, you guys are skipping ahead, I can see that, that's okay. We're going to look at these spreadsheets. You guys have a nice big copy, so hopefully you can do that. Mine are smaller. But, yep.
I got one question.
Yeah.
Say through an act of God, EAV drops like a rock in 2020. We refinance all this stuff in 2019. What happens to the debt service extension limit?
So the debt service extension base, that won't be affected by EAV. That's separate. That's right. You have two limitations, one that's tied to EAV and one that's not.
Okay.
So the debt service extension base for limited bonds won't be affected. What will be affected is what that statutory borrowing margin is. And like it happened in the past, as EAV declined, you went from positive margin to negative margin, which means at that point in time, the only type of bonds you'd be able to issue would be alternate revenue source bonds, which would be payable out of your operating funds. So in a bind, if you had an emergency roof that needed to be replaced that wasn't covered by insurance, you could sell alternate revenue source bonds, but you'd have to find revenue in the budget to be able to pay for that. So it's good that you have that available. That's why they make it available to you, is so that you have some outlet to be able to borrow. But at the same time, the downside is it has to come out of the operating budget, which is never the easiest thing to do. So you would have that available to you. But in that same example, if you didn't restructure these large peaks now and EAV declines occurred, that window to be able to do so could go away temporarily until more debt is paid off or EAV starts to climb again. Okay. So that is something to consider. You know, and I don't like the term that the stars align, but in this case, certain things are lining up that say, you can do this right now, whereas a couple of these things move the wrong way, and mathematically or within the legal limits, you may not be able to do them.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Yep. So these spreadsheets are very large, confusing, lots of numbers, but I have to show it to you.
But they're better large than the little teeny.
You like that? Yeah. All right. Have to do that more often.
Yeah, I think it's good.
So the first page that I would like you to look at is the one up in the top right corner. Says LT in red letters, I hope. Oh, look, I can see it. I brought my little ones. So for the LT, basically what we're looking at is on the far left-hand side of the page are the existing payments for limited bonds. And on the far right-hand side of the page, we get to the estimated or I should say the hypothetical aggregate debt service after issuing limited park bonds. The stuff in the middle is showing you what it looks like to repay the money that you've borrowed for projects, as well as the money that's needed to refinance existing debt in order to comply with the tax caps. So, for example, this, what we're calling the GO Limited Park Bond Series 2019A here, if you see this part here, that is basically what's being used to refinance certain bonds that actually, this should, it's kind of hard to explain. If you were to pursue this, this Series A might go away, because what it's doing is refinancing existing bonds that show savings, but also have a penalty payable to the IRS that probably gets rid of the savings. So long story short, if you were to borrow for new money, we'd probably just get rid of this altogether. So the second column, the 2019B, is basically a combination of $3 million for park projects, and that's, you can see that down in this bottom part of the table here, there's a line that says deposit to project fund, it's
$66,385.
Right. And then right above that, you see deposit to escrow fund of $799,000. What that deposit to the escrow fund is the bonds that need to be refinanced in order to comply with the tax caps. So basically, you know that in order to pull out $3 million, $800,000 worth of bonds need to be refinanced in order to comply with the debt service extension base. Now that means you're adding $3 million of new money, which means adding $3 million of debt that didn't apply on that first sheet that we looked at that showed that you had about $5.5 million of room under the statutory debt limit, which means if you were to do this, you would still have authority under the current EAB to potentially issue more bonds in the future. Doesn't mean that you're going to, it just means that mathematically you would have that available for future years, which is a good thing. It means you're not using all of it up. You're coming close, but you're not using all of it up, so that's a good thing. But on the right-hand side here, what we see is the last three columns, hypothetical aggregate debt service, those are the new limited bond payments. The next column is what we call the estimated debt service extension base. We're not assuming any growth in that number, but there should or could be growth in that number. It doesn't mean it's automatic. We've seen it as low as 0.1%, and it can go as high as 5%. I've never seen it that high, but it can go as high as 5%.
Usually, so that increase every year to that DSEP number is, it grows by the amount of CPI every year?
Right, right. So I think it's the state puts out a number that is the recognized number for property tax extension limitation law, and that is what we would apply to this $381,000 to have it grow incrementally each year. So that also helps you to be able to issue in the future for non-referendum purposes.
But for the sake of this exercise, we're not assuming any growth, and we're simply saying that this issuance, should we issue this, will fit within what the current EAB is.
Right. So if you see the final column says estimated remaining DSEB or debt service extension base, you can see that for the most part, all of those numbers are less than $5,000. Now this was a rough look, so you see 1 year it's negative $8,000. We'd smooth that out and fix that if it was something you guys were going to pursue. But each year that the CPI allows us to increase, instead of seeing, for example, $3,000, it would be $3,000 plus whatever that growth is for a year. And then the following year you get more growth. So each year if we were to redo this table, those numbers would increase without you guys doing anything at all.
As long as the EAB group.
Does not go beyond
not tied to EAB.
This one is CPI. Assuming.
Oh, CPI?
Yeah.
Right. As long as the CPI grows.
Right. Right. So if the CPI is zero, then you'd get no growth.
So in
but
the.
As long as it's positive, there will be some level of growth.
We said 2011, 12, I can't think. So at the bottom end of the economics crash, our CPI number, everyone kept assuming we were going to go into the negative. It was 0.01.
Right.
It has been, and it was sitting on, 0.01%. It was like something, but not quite.
The 20-year average is somewhere close to 2%, but it can fluctuate. We've seen 3.1 and we've seen
1.01. What did we just see this last year?
1.9. The last 3 years were 2.1, 2.1, and 1.9. So that's the most consistent I've seen in the last 15 or so years.
This past year, for 2019, it's 2.1. Going into the next year, it'll change.
So I'll pause here because I've been talking nonstop for a while.
It's that.
Does anybody have any questions about limited bonds, non-referendum bonds, and this specifically?
If we do anything here, I know we're talking about the Build America bonds, we're trying to get to a better scenario. If we do anything here, does that affect that in any way in the future?
It shouldn't, because next year, if we're able to currently refund the Build America bonds and show savings, it should be really close to dollar for dollar, which means that...
Is that similar to what we did in 16?
12 million, 14 million? What was the Build America 14, bond?
6.
14.
The very first one.
So if there's 14...
14-2.
14-2 on the first one.
I think 14-2, sorry.
We'll just say 14 million of Build America bonds. It should take about 14 million of new bonds to refinance those. The difference is going to be the interest rates are lower, so the interest cost is lower. Okay. And so what that means is, let's say the example that Tim asked was, what happens if EAB just drops and all of a sudden you don't have any statutory borrowing margin available? For that refunding for savings, as long as we can show the attorneys, Chapman and Cutler, I presume, that we don't have a new par amount or new principal amount that is any higher than what we're refunding, they will allow you to go ahead and do that. That's legal, mm-hmm. and you can do it. When it comes to borrowing for new money for projects or something, you wouldn't be able to do that other than the alternate bonds, which would be quite difficult to accomplish, but would still be available.
So several years, the issue that we talked about, that $3 million in saving, it was a par issue, correct? Mm-hmm. We didn't get any new money out of it. We were still above our debt limit at the time, but we were allowed to refinance,
right,
so that we could reduce those future interest payments.
Yep.
So if you're sitting above your debt margin, you can't issue for new money.
Right.
Okay, on the LT,
yep.
You show for the new money, the $3,985,000, we're extending our payment out to 2044, is that correct?
Right, and that's the statutory maximum that you're allowed to be able to do that. So again, if the number that you choose is $2.5 million, and we can get rid of $500,000 of principal, in effect it would shorten everything up, it would require less in the way of refinancing, and essentially would kind of continue to shrink itself into a different looking structure that's shorter with less interest cost.
Okay. If we pull up 500,000, you end up very close to the current ending payment, which is in 2037. So if you start at the $104,000 payment, I think it is, and come down, that's just, I think, over 500,000 right there.
And we would still be able to get rid of some of these spikes in 2030.
Yeah, the important thing to remember with this LT page and the ULT page is they're independent from one another.
Okay.
So you can do, right now you can do both, or one or the other, or nothing.
Okay.
Those are, you know, that's kind of what's out there. And then also you can do, like I said, if this is the maximum number, $3 million, you can basically do anything from zero to $3 million in new money. You don't have to do the full amount, the maximum, anything like that.
Or, so to your point, the combination of, do we do some refinancing to smooth it out and get mm-hmm. some new money? Right. There'd be two separate steps. Andy, is that correct?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
it would be one step, but...
It would be all done together, but it would be two separate issues. It'd be the same documentation, the same transcript,
okay.
the same bond sale. It'd be simplified, for sure. You wouldn't want to split the issuance, because then you're paying a set of fees and a set of fees, and it doesn't make sense to do that. So it's worth considering what do you want to do right here and now. That way you're only paying that set of fees one time. So the next set of spreadsheets.
There you go.
Is the ULT page. Now this has less columns because essentially what we have is thank you to the tax reform that occurred a little over a year ago, I think. You can only refinance bonds ahead of their call date taxably or at taxable interest rates. We can no longer do a tax-exempt or a tax-free advance refunding. So basically, any of the bonds that we have available that we can pick and choose to refund and push out a couple of years into those pockets where there's available room to do so, those have call dates or no call dates that are beyond 3 months from now, and therefore we can't do anything to do this on a tax-exempt basis. So we're forced to do it on a taxable basis. Still, interest rates are quite low. You can see that, you know, on the longer end, out in 2037, we're estimating that the interest rate is about 4%. And so usually we try to take a very conservative approach, which means we're going to add about 10 basis points of what we really expect that interest rate might turn out to be, so that between now and the period of time it takes to get through the bonds process, we can try to make sure that this is achievable and that the market isn't going to move in a way that makes this not attainable or some surprising large numbers that you didn't see at this point. So that's where we try to be a little bit conservative and inflate the interest rates a tiny bit in order to make sure we can manage these results. But essentially what it would be is I really wanted to adjust this, but my analyst wouldn't do it. The $6,660,000 number, par amount, being three sixes in a row, which I tried to... essentially what you'd be doing is selling about $6.5 million. And if you look at the first column of numbers for existing debt service, you see that overall we go from $4.6 million up through $5 million for a few years, through $6 million for a few years, $7 million, $8 million, up to $9.5 million.
Right here.
Before those numbers drop back down into the fives and sixes. So what we did here with this is we looked at if we just push enough of these peaks out into those last 5 years where the payments are 5.5, 6 million, 6.2, and bring those payments up to 7 million, can we lower those peaks down to 7 million and arbitrarily draw the line in the sand at 7 million? And basically say, right now, we'll use some of the authority that you have in that statutory debt limit or debt margin to push some of those peaks out just about 4 or 5 years. Now, what it's doing is moving a few payments out a few years, but it's not moving the end date of when this debt is repaid, which is kind of a cool thing. You know, most cases where we do this, and we do it a lot for school districts especially, is they're taking debt that's repaid over 20 years, and they're repaying it over 30 or 35. And that becomes a dangerous cycle because it's enticing to them. Like, we can tell the taxpayers we're lowering their payments and all this. And that's true, but you're also taking 15 extra years to pay off the school building. In this case, you're not taking any extra time to repay your buildings. You're just simply changing the way in which those are being repaid. So one of the things that we're obligated to show you is in the bottom table, it's kind of a weird green color, I don't know why it comes out that way, is we have to call it the present value cost of the borrowing. So the present value cost of this is about $1.1 million, because again, a couple of payments are gonna be moved to a couple years later than what they're scheduled to be made. But again, altogether, the bookends are there. It's from now until 2037, and that's not changing.
But it allows us to not have that. We talked about it when we did the audit meeting. Remember when Matt was here and we were looking at the debt margin? And we're like, we have some monster spikes starting in 2031. Is that what it was, Lisa? Remember what it was?
Yeah.
Something like that. Where we said, oh my gosh, and those are going to be, and we're going to collect the taxes for exactly what we need. So we'll see larger spikes in our tax rates. Now, as EAB grows, as we've seen the last couple years, we've seen a very minimal drop to our tax rate because as EAB grows, the percentage of our taxes that create that the taxes we receive gets a little bit smaller every year. As long as EABs stay steady or continue to grow, we'll see our rate continue to drop. So maybe it wouldn't have been such a large spike, but these are pretty significant spikes. And at the time that we were issuing them, these were the only options that we had. We had three walls up in a building, and EAB was bottoming out. That's what we had to do.
And it's because mathematically, with where interest rates were at the time, that is the best way that you can fit those payments all in without over inundating taxpayers at the beginning, and which is a very common thing to do because you only have 25 years to make those payments, and if it's a rather large amount that's happening in a short period of time, like the projects you guys undertook, like this building
we're sitting in right now,
yeah.
25-year mortgage on the building.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about doing a refinance of your home, but you're not extending out how far you're going to pay it. You're just restructuring it so that it's even payments, so that you're not going to get an increase in your rate and a decrease, and then an increase, and then everybody starts going, what are you doing? Why is that happening? At least then it's just doing this.
So essentially $3,000 to even out payments and make it easier. It's going to cost us $3,000 to even out payments.
Yeah, or you're saying $3 million?
Right.
That's
where is that number from? I was trying very hard. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that $2.9 million there. That is if we take the overall debt service, principal, and interest.
That's what it's going to cost.
Correct. Good. Yes.
Right. And so I don't know why. I think it's the MSRB. It's one of the regulatory agencies. They say we have to show you the present value, and nobody really understands what that means. But that's taking that $2.9 million and backing into today's dollars using that interest rate of about 4.069%. And so we have to show you that. But, right, correct. You'd be changing the repayment to the tune of about $2.9 million. But what it means to taxpayers when they get their bill, there's still going to be a climb because there's not much you can do about that. You don't have enough debt margin available to bring those payments much lower than $6 million. Because then we start to blow through that $9 million that's available to you. So we tried to look at something that still keeps that margin number positive post-issuance and still accomplishes something that's meaningful. And basically you get to that point and then it's status quo. And hopefully if EAV is increasing while that payment's staying the same, that means that rate will go down each year with the EAV growth, hopefully. Yeah. So you guys all looked at it already, but that's okay. The graph is essentially, this really only ties to, it's your overall debt, but it really only ties to the ULT idea. So we didn't do this for the limited bond one, but for the ULT restructuring, basically, you can see those big spikes that Sue was talking about where they go north of $7 million, $8 million, and then $9.5 million.
Just the blue one, right?
Just the blue.
Right.
And then if you look at the before and after, which is kind of blue and red, you can see that the red is after the restructuring, that's $6.6 million. And you can see that those red payments, we fill in some of those voids on the back end. We don't go past 2037, and those spikes are ironed off the top and flattened out.
And what our thought was when we met with Andy is that, you know, what's the number that you think you could be comfortable with? I mean, zero was really the number, but what's the number that we could be comfortable with as far as how high do you want these payments to go? And in order to make it work and to not extend the debt beyond where we were, that number was $7 million. So we're still going to see some increase to what we're paying, but our thought is that as EAV has that minor growth, small growth, it'll help offset it. It might not do the whole thing, but it'll help offset it. And then as EAV continues to grow, we're looking at much more stabilized payments. And one of the things that we have tried to work hard to address is that spike. It's very intimidating to see that big spike coming down the line. And even when we issued, and it was probably, Bill was probably still here at the time, right? And we talked about that something, well, it's a big spike now, it's what we have room and the capacity to do, something that we will keep our eye on for potential refinancing. So this is one of these windows that opened up, and here you go. So I think this kind of helps to see how that smooths out a little bit.
So then, given that, you know, things can change any minute, any time, what would you suggest moving forward that we weigh out, and what's our time frame?
Well, time frame for doing the new money issues, so the limited bonds, is longer than the refunding, but the restructuring bond issue. So the LT bond issue takes 30 days longer. Basically, you do have to publish in the newspaper, go through that petition period. So the way that timeline would look at the absolute earliest is at your next meeting, you would adopt a resolution or an ordinance that would call for a publication in the paper. That starts your 30-day clock. Until that 30 days is up, you can't adopt anything else that authorizes it. Basically, once that 30 days is passed, you can then adopt the authorizing ordinance to move forward. And typically, we're looking at a full two-month window, in that case, start to finish, to be able to do that, assuming that you green-lighted it, you know, today or before the next meeting. If you were to do the ULT, the restructuring by itself, without any new money, that basically takes a one-month to six-week period of time with a board meeting in the middle somewhere that requires board action. And so if you were to combine them, you're just looking at the longer timeline. So if you're going to combine them, you have to start with the process for the limited bonds, and then we can put it all together in the last month or so to combine both of them and have a bond sale.
Okay. So we're probably looking at October, I think.
Yeah, so if we're talking about an August meeting and then 30 days into September, you'd look at probably close to an October closing, which means for new money, that means in October, you would have that money available to you. And if there's projects that needed to be started or paid for, whatever it is, that money would be available to you at that point.
So would that be a May November?
Yeah, we would mimic whatever you had before. So yeah, I think that's what we would stick with.
And then we still, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but then with that, if there was new money coming out and there was a new issue, we'd have to provide ideas and plans on what money we're going to be spending. We still have to meet those spend down requirements, right, that says within 3 years you have to spend 80% of the money. We can't just issue the money to hold it in the bank. That's where we go into the conversations over the next meeting. And we're going to actually review the capital improvement plan tonight. So there's, we can see what we have left, what is still out there to get accomplished, where would our priorities be on these future projects, and what we would do with that money. I know, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Also offers us some possible grant opportunities, which we'll continue to pursue to match the new money, right?
Right.
So you've
if
always
you
got
money to spend.
If you've got money to put out there to match it. So we've got some trails, the recreational trails grant, the Isla grant, some of those opportunities, the park grant that's coming up, some of those things we've wanted to do, say Elk Trail, Heritage Lakes. There's some good opportunities,
park, right?
The community park.
Right.
There's
you
some good opportunity to match some money as part of that new money. So we would hopefully obtain more than just the $2.5 million or $3 million that we would decide to go for.
So what was the figure? You throw out a figure of 550,000 if we borrowed that much. Then
less. If on the Andy's explained that we could take about $3 million, right?
Right.
Under this with no referendum authority needed.
That's part of the mess.
And that brings us out. It did extend our debt out to 2044. If we wanted to be able to have it still stop at 2037, we could cut off. And if you look on, it's the page that says LT.
Yeah.
Under the column that reads, and I was just looking at interest, so that's actually not quite enough. But it wouldn't even have to be that much then. So I'm going to need to cut back. Andy, am I correct in saying, I thought that if we cut back $500,000, could we still stay within our, you know, that's like
no,
we'd have to go way back up. Yeah, it's only interest, right?
So, I mean, each principal payment there, you know,
is another 200, yeah.
353.65. I mean, if you were to shave $500,000 off, you know, maybe you're looking at two payments being removed.
Yeah, maybe we go back to 20. And I thought that was, I was just looking at the interest payments. But if we drop it to $2.5 million, then we only extend out to 2042. So
we
get 5 years.
If we only borrow $500,000, we're keeping it at closer to, we're still extending it.
Yeah, I mean if you're borrowing $500,000, you're a lot closer to
the 2037.
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, maybe 2035 or something, because what happens is we have that refunding piece that's about $800,000 that we know needs to happen for $3 million. Once we drop by $500,000 to $2.5 million, the need for that refunding goes from $800,000 down to $700,000.
Right.
You knock another, you know, $500,000 off, that $700,000 might go down to $600,000. I'm just guessing based on experience. But what it does is it kind of shrinks itself together because we're only refunding to the penny what we need to in order to accomplish that new money number. So every time you say massage, every time you massage that number smaller, the refunding number is going to shrink along with it.
So I think if I could sort of read Dan's mind, is that
How much?
You'd like to stay at the 2037 number, whatever that number means for new money. So it could, in my, what I'm hearing from Andy, that 2037 number could bring us a little bit more than $500,000.
And I, something else to consider is you can certainly do any number that you want.
Right.
But let's say you decided to do 500,000 for projects and nothing else. It requires a minimal amount of refinancing. Maybe it requires none. So maybe it's a $500,000 bond issue. You're gonna have professional fees that are $10,000 chunks that go on top of that, and then you're looking at
the cost of doing it is...
Right. So I'm not saying that you have to do the most.
Right.
I'm just saying that you're going to find that when we get those cost estimates, that you're going to go, oh, man, you know, we're borrowing $500,000 and we're paying... It wouldn't be $100,000, but you look at it and go, I don't want to do that.
I get it.
So just something to think about. And at this point, what we always do is we always overestimate the costs. Mm-hmm. So I think in here, I'm not 100% sure, but normally we look at like 3% for the total issuance costs. That is everything that's up front, our fee, the attorneys, rating agencies, all of those things. Because we fully expect that 3% is a high number, and that when we get all of those bids and everything, it's going to shrink down closer to 2% or something like that.
Is that on that LT, the $500,000 you're talking about?
But I, Linda, right on this, so if we were to be able to pull the LT,
but then if it's costing you $3 million to massage that, aren't we losing money?
Well, are you talking about?
Well, I'm looking at the two.
Well, so if you borrow $500,000, is that what you're asking?
Right, right.
So if you were to only borrow $500,000, here, I'm going to come over here.
Two different things, don't forget
them. Yeah.
Right. But I'm looking like if this is costing
for the restructuring of the other stuff.
Yeah, so
I'm just looking at net.
So like if you were to borrow $500,000, you'd be able to cover that in these payments right here, essentially. And these interest payments would come down in tandem. So they would, the interest payments would not be $150,000. They'd be maybe $50,000 or something like that, because it's whatever this principal amount is times that each year.
Okay.
And so it'd be a much lower number. So that's what I'm saying. Like, as you shrink that new money amount, you're really pushing everything shorter, smaller. There's less requirement for refinancing.
Okay.
So, yeah, it really, it drastically changes, and it's very difficult to estimate.
Okay.
And the $3 million point is not everything that we have the authority to issue at this point. It's what we thought could fit. And what we thought we could use. It's what we thought would fit as far as our projects go. The $3 million versus we have more authority, but we're thinking with $3 million.
Well, by one limitation, you have more. And what I told them was that we can actually, when you sell bonds, we can assume future growth in your debt service extension base. So on this LT table, that right second from the right column that says debt service extension base, and it's $381,000 top to bottom. We can actually tell the attorneys, you know, we're going to estimate 1.5% growth every year, and then we can actually help you pull out more money, more new money. That's dangerous because if a year comes up where CPI doesn't match, then you have to pay for that shortfall out of, you know, as the attorneys would put, any legally available funds, which means your operating budget. So you're going to take money out of operating to pay debt service on something you borrowed 4 years earlier.
Yeah.
We don't like to put you in a position to do that. If seven people were screaming at me going, do it, I would do it. But I wouldn't suggest that you do that, and it's not something that I would put on paper to show you what that looks like. But it is something, like Sue is saying, the statutory margin you have available is over $5 million, and by increasing that CPI assumption from no growth to some growth, we could go from $3 million to $3.5 to $3.7. I don't know what that number would be, but we could certainly pull out more. And it just might put you, it's more aggressive than we'd like to be, and it could put you into a position where you're paying out of operating for something you borrowed, and that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't, and I like when you give us the, I'll call it conservative approach.
I can tell you where my head is right now.
Oh.
Please which do. Is kind of all over the board, but my initial thoughts are, why would we spend $3 million right now for something that may affect us 10 years from now when we know that these things change all the time?
Yeah.
That's my first thought. I know you're worried about the spikes in payments, but to me, I see that it's like 10 years out. So much can happen between now and then. Do we want to spend $3 million right now to even it out 10 years when, at that time, who knows? Maybe it's all restructurable and going to save us money and not cost us money. That's my first thought. My other thought, it's hard to talk about borrowing $500,000, $3 million when I have no idea what we're borrowing it for.
So can I comment?
Yeah.
Please. So we would have to plan for what that money to be borrowed for. So there were two things that staff saw attractive to this, right? One is to level out the spikes. And as I've promised since I've got in the door, right, I'm leaving this place better than I found it. And right now, this scares the junk out of me. And I think it scares the bejesus out of the taxpayers, too, because it's everything's going to go up for a taxpayer's perspective when we told them that their taxes weren't going to go up. Okay? That was the referendum issue. So I'm really worried about that. That's what worries me. The second thing is that we've run into a number of things currently, right? A $600,000 roof we're still not finished with on a brand new building, a deferred maintenance program on Elk Trail, which we've decided to keep, a pool that I need a new liner that's going to cost over $1 million probably by itself, all right? I don't even know that, but once we start digging into it. So what I'm foreseeing is what scares me the most in regards to the capital improvements, right? So when we start talking about $500,000 or $2.5 million or $3 million, it's going to help us. It's probably never going to be enough, but I really anticipate, because we've worked on a geothermal system, right? We've fixed a repair field in the back. When we're going into capital tonight, right, we'll explain some of that, but I also know that in the big picture of things, and this board has definitely laid out that we're not getting rid of the pool, we're going to keep the pool. It's going to need attention. We have been putting band-aids on it, right, as we go. So those are the kind of things, Jackie, that are concerning to me, looking up, knowing what the inside looks like, right? And I guess I should apologize, because we're always talking about that, and that's why we bring the capital to you again to talk about it. But in that same breath, I want to reiterate that I want to be creative as heck to try and get some of that grant money that is available. And since the Democrats have taken office here, it seems to be a time where these grants are going to be more fluid through the next, say, 4 years, right? And I think what we're doing with Community Park, which seems to be, you know, sort of a hot button too, is we're going to leave money on the table if we don't have money to match it. Now, of course, these are all board decisions, right? We just bring to you as staff what we think is best. But we will run into some situations where we're going to need some money, and I'm not sure how we're going to obtain that other than to tap into operations. So that's what I think is the reality of it.
And so our plan was to present the capital update this evening. It was already on the agenda for a while. And then Andy's phone call came, and he says the municipal market is behaving in this manner. And we made the decision to say, listen, we have to at least present it to the board so that they can go hand in hand. So while capital plan, and that's going to happen a little bit later this evening, you can kind of see what we've spent.
So if these meetings were flip-flop, it would be a little bit
It would have been a lot easier. It would have been a lot easier.
A little bit, but it's still not. But there's still a lot of unknowns too, Jackie. So we don't know what the pool's going to bring us, right? If I pull the liner off and I can repair the cement underneath, that might be an option, right? That is not going to necessarily come up in tonight's conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm just letting you know in advance what's going on in this little brain of mine as to what I think we're going to have to anticipate and say the next 5 years, right?
You know, I will, for the sake of time,
sure.
And I will apologize for coming in at the ninth hour, but I think Andy, you do a really great job of explaining things, you know, call it layman's terms. Because with maybe one exception, most of us, you know, this is high-level financing that we need to kind of sink our teeth into and our minds around, and then incorporate it into the different needs of staff, what will our community think, and we're missing three key figures tonight. Mm-hmm. unfortunately. Can I ask you to, together, maybe give us a summary so that we can digest this further and so that the other board members can take advantage of, you know, what you explained to us tonight? I know we have all these, but your narrative was really very helpful.
Sure.
So, Sue, can you help us with that?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to also say that we need to get together and talk about this further, because I liken it to my own home finances, like Lisa said. You know what? That I can wrap my brain around. I have my mortgage payment, and I know what it's going to be. If I knew in 10 years it was going to go up, that would be freaking me out, like this is freaking you out. I know what kind of projects I want to do, and say, ooh, if I really do that screen porch, how much is it going to cost, and what are the benefits going to be, and would we appreciate it, and we would have the money, and we don't really want to refinance and extend further, but boy, it would certainly be nice to have the money if we're going to get free money. So we have all this stuff, like you said, a lot to digest. So I guess, in summary, can we get a summary? And then next, can we discuss with all board members and do it so quickly so that we can move as quickly as we need to do on this? Jim, I'd like your recommendation on going forward.
Yeah, and it's going to be difficult from this point forward because of how our meeting schedule lays out, right?
Okay, so our
meeting schedule, we meet today, and then we don't meet in July again. We have a meet us in the park the first part of August, which we took up a meeting with, and then we have the next meeting, which is August 24th or 26th. So we're like August 20. Well, meet us in the park is an official, but that's not an official meeting. And then we,
six,
the 26th, I think, right?
August.
Of August, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so doesn't.
Okay. And we need to move more quickly than that.
I think the board at your meeting here in 2 minutes, you know, you can have a special meeting.
Request a special meeting. A finance committee meeting, a special board
that
meeting.
We could do that.
No, I get it, but I mean, for something this important, let's just start with a recap. Do we need a?
Well, something. So Brian and Tony and John, they wouldn't understand
without
you everything you just gave us.
Yeah. Without the summary, this was hard. I tried hard to understand it, but until you talked about it,
yeah.
I didn't know what all this stuff.
So I cheated a little bit. I turn the recorder on, and I'm hoping to share that recording with the members who aren't here. So that could help to a certain extent, okay? Just for our use, not for public use, but for our use, so that they could hear the conversation and then maybe follow along with the charts in front of them. So that might be a
Can
start.
Can that transcribe it possibly?
Well, I think that might be harder than actually just listening to the conversation.
Okay.
So maybe we could just make the audio available for them. So,
okay.
All right.
Podcast.
A little podcast, right.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Do we need to add another
meeting?
I think we should. Because we want to take, if we're going to refinance anything,